the shower and everything. And so I thought today, I saw every chair is getting full. I go, today people are going to sit next to me, right? No, nobody was sitting next to me. So I made the youth group sit next to me. And anyway, the title of the sermon is God's Lavish Grace. God's Lavish Grace. And it's from 1 Peter. Well, this is the first passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And God's people said. So this is why we celebrate Easter. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have a new birth. Okay? We have a new birth. In other words, we have a new life. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Okay? If you belong to Christ, if you are a Christian, if you love Jesus, okay? If you love Jesus, the old life is gone. Okay? The new life has begun. Okay? But that doesn't mean that you and I won't struggle anymore as a Christian. There will be struggle. Right? As a Christian, you will have to face spiritual attacks. You and I will get tired. There will be things that frustrate us. You and I will have to face our personal weaknesses, our failures, and our problems. But as a Christian, right? As a Christian, our identity is not in sin anymore. Right? Our identity is not in failure. No matter how much you failed, when you give your life to Christ, you should never call yourself a failure because that's not your identity. Right? As a Christian, our identity is not brokenness. Right? It's not brokenness. But our identity, when we become Christian, Christian means little Christ, right? Our identity is in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Our security is not in our works. You know, in this world, that's where our security is. What kind of job, you know, our education, what position in our company, or how much, you know, work we do in the church, what kind of ministry we are in the church, we're doing in the church. A lot of times people put our security in those things, our accomplishment, education, you know, how popular we are, the title in the organization. And also what I found out as I ministered for many years, you know, our security, but you need to understand this, is not in ministry. Okay? Our security is not in ministry. Our security is not in our spiritual gifts, how much we have influence on others, and even in our calling. That's not where we should have our security, in our calling. It's not, our security should not be in the size of the ministry or how many people follow you. That's not where our security is. Because in Matthew 7, okay, there were a bunch of people, this is the end time, and they said, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy for you, they said. Do we not prophesy? Do we not drive out demons? Do we not perform many miracles? Right? And shocking. It's very shocking. Jesus said to them, I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Okay? I never knew you. You know, again, we all want to be part of this supernatural ministry because our God is supernatural. Okay? We want to be part of this supernatural ministry, and we want God using us to release powerful words and powerful revelation. We want God to use us to heal the sick. We want God to use us to do miracles. Right? But there's a weakness, okay? It's a weakness in supernatural ministry. Right? But first, I want to say, supernatural ministry is biblical. You know, Jesus, as he ministered, did miracles. Right? It's biblical, it is needed, and it helps people. It helps people. But there's a weakness to supernatural ministry, those who, you know, minister supernaturally. And this is the weakness. It makes celebrities out of the ministers. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, for example, not just people who are in prophetic ministry or people in healing ministry or people who do miracle. Other ministry, you know, has this problem is like worship leaders. They become celebrities. And I was thinking also lead pastors. Just hit me, I'm a lead pastor. You know? But the problem is they become celebrities. And Jesus tells them, you have this great gift that I gave you to prophesy, to deliver people and to set them free, to do miracles. But he tells them, I never knew you. Okay? I never knew you. The ministry they did was very important, but they did not know Jesus. What did Jesus mean? The ministry should have been about Jesus, but somehow you made it about yourself. The ministry should have focused on how great Jesus is, but somehow, I don't know how you did it, right? But you used the ministry to show others how great you are. I never knew you. Right? But today is Easter. All the focus should be on Jesus. Okay? Not me, not you, not the worship team. On Easter day, we want to look at what Jesus did for me. Amen? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Okay? In Christ, there is abundant grace. This is what I want to talk about. In Christ, there is abundant grace. Say that to your neighbor. In Christ, there is abundant grace. You know, when I was younger, and I think it's all relative, when I talk to my daughters, you know, when they were in college, they go, I'm getting so old. But that's not, you know, I didn't even respond to them. You know, when you get old, you know, but again, when I was young, I was very immature. I thought I knew a lot when I was younger. But as I got older and older, I realized how much I don't know, right? As I got older. And as you get older and older, you see more and more of your limitation. You see more and more of your imperfection. You know, you see more and more because of your weakness. And more imperfection that you see in yourself, okay, because we're all getting older, you need more and more of God's grace. Okay? You need more and more of God's grace. The grace that you received when you were 20, you need more when you're 58. Much, 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 much more. As we get older, you know, we need to stop thinking, you know, and we think this way. We look at your limitation. You look at your weakness. You know, in the future, once I get my life together, once I clean up my act, then I will come to God. Once I get my act together, you know, once I get that promotion, once I retire, you know, I have a good egg, you know, when I retire, I'll get serious with God. But the problem, like I just mentioned, older you get, more life will hit you. okay? More tired you get, more comfortable you get with your imperfection, you become more complacent, you become more disillusioned. Older you get, it gets harder and harder to get serious about your faith. Older you get, you see more and more of your imperfection. And you know, this is why it gets hard. More and more you see your imperfection, you start seeing more and more of other people's imperfection. And you get stuck. And over time, you become comfortable with it. Over time, you don't care. And this makes you not care about your relationship with God. But the good news, you see, this is what helps me all the time. God is gracious. Okay? Say that to your neighbor. God is gracious. And what does that mean, that God is gracious? God doesn't expect you to clean up your act before you approach him. Okay? The Easter message, God says to you, I love you now. Okay? Right now, I love you. I know you, you know, God says to you, I know that you're not perfect. You know what? I know all your past sins, okay? All your failures and mistakes. And God says to you, I know even your future sins. I know your future failures and future mistakes. But God is saying to you, because of grace, don't wait any longer. Come, this is what grace says. Come as you are. Right? You mean like, but I'm not ready? No. Come like that. But I struggle with my marriage. I struggle with this addiction. Come as you are. I haven't read the Bible. Come as you are. This is grace. Okay? This is grace. God says to you, this is grace. I will continue to love you. I will continue to accept you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never stop working in you. I will change you. I will help you. I will redeem you. You know, your imperfection. Right. This is God. He's not surprised by it. He's not. This is not a new revelation to him. I didn't know. Okay? I didn't know. I didn't know Tay struggled with those things or Sam struggled with those things. He's not surprised by that. It's not a new revelation. God knows that you are not perfect. God knows your past. God knows your future. God knows your deepest thoughts. God knows your most inner motive of your heart. God knows all your hidden sins. And the Easter message, God wants to show you grace. You know, maybe your parents, you know, they were different when they saw your imperfection, when they saw that B or something or A minus. Well, my parents had it harder when they saw that C, you know. When they saw your weakness, they got upset and they got angry. God wants to show you grace. God is not upset with your weakness. God is not afraid of your weakness. God is not hopeless when he sees your weakness. You know, turn to Romans chapter 8, or nowadays you shouldn't say turn to Romans. Look up to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now, okay, not tomorrow. This is the grace of God. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I need to hear an amen to that. For those who are in Christ Jesus, those that belong to Christ, God doesn't judge you. for all the things that you did wrong. God doesn't reject you when you sin. Why? Jesus took your condemnation. Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. The Bible doesn't say once you become a Christian, you will not sin anymore. It says there's no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter if it's a sin that you committed 30 years ago or yesterday, today, or tomorrow, or 10 years from now. It has already been paid for. Okay? You no longer have to walk around with shame. Okay? If you walk around with shame, you will never change. You will not overcome. Okay? If you walk, it will just crush you. And so, it says, God says, no more. I took care of it. Okay? Now let's, build a relationship, and I'm going to walk with you, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to change you. Okay? Say to your neighbor, God is sovereign over my failure. Say to your neighbor, God is sovereign over my weaknesses. Okay? And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29. And we know that in all things, God worked for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And God's people said. Okay. Now, this passage is talking about predestination. That's one of the conversation, or debate that I don't want to have, because I'm your pastor. I'm still struggling with predestination, and I'm not going to say I understand predestination fully. I don't. I'm trying. But when people talk about predestination, they talk about it in relationship to salvation. Who is predestined to be saved? That's what, is usually related to salvation. But as I focus on this verse, it's not talking about salvation, in my opinion. It's about sanctification. It's about sanctification. Those who are predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. And what this passage says, if you love Jesus, if you love Jesus, you're going to change. Okay? If you love Jesus, God is going to work everything out. You will transform. Your life will change. You will conform to the image of Christ. When you love Jesus, I believe this is what it's saying. You will become more like Jesus. But we make Christianity so complicated. We got all this hundreds of things that we got to do. And then we change. No, that's not what it says. It says, you don't perform to become more like Christ. Did you hear that? I thought that was very deep. That was very deep. You don't perform to become more like Christ. It is about loving Jesus. When you love Jesus, you become like Christ. If you miss that, and that's what, Matthew 7, those ministers miss. They didn't love Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. They go, I have prophetic gift, and I could do great things. I did great works. You don't perform to become like Christ. You love Jesus, and this is where my confidence is. And I could say this with 100% confidence. When you love Jesus, you will become more like Christ. You will become more like Christ. Again, going back to Matthew 7, You know, people who said, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy? Do we not drive out demons? Do we not perform many miracles? And Jesus said to them, I never knew you. In other words, what Jesus was saying to them is, you never loved me. And I think it was a very strong rebuke. It was a very strong rebuke. If Jesus said that to me, it would just break my heart. See, what your ministry, I believe what he was saying, was more about production than loving Jesus. It was about how many people came to hear you than loving Jesus. It was about how popular you are than loving Jesus. It was about how much money you brought into the ministry than loving Jesus. It is interesting who Jesus showed himself to after the resurrection, you know, death and resurrection. The resurrected Christ, if you read the Bible, show up to people in the most ordinary circumstances. You know, you think, he rose again. He resurrected. And so, you know, he should show himself to in a stadium with, you know, hundreds of thousands of people. He should just come walking in with lights. Oh, they didn't have lights, you know, with, I don't know, torches. You know. Maybe, you know, he should have came and resurrected Christ should have came in front of human kings and emperors. He should have came to a palace. He should have went to Rome, the greatest city of that time. But if you read the Bible, after the resurrection, Jesus showed himself during a private dinner. He shows himself to these two men, you know, ordinary man that nobody knew, walking along the road. She goes, Jesus just pops up. Hi. He shows himself to a woman weeping in the garden. He shows himself, the resurrected Christ shows himself to fishermen working a lake. What does that tell you? The invitation on this Easter day after the resurrection of Jesus, after Jesus rose from the dead, because of God's lavish grace, you can encounter God where you are. You can come to God just as you are. And God's people said, amen. Okay, worship team.